views and opinions expressed by college guests and hosts are not views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 9. Today is October the 30th, 2018. It is a Tuesday. Looking forward to doing today's live show with you all. Sorry it was a little late today, but we are here and ready to go. And so if you'd like to get in on the conversation anytime, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Is the call in number, and we have my man Pastor Keith is in the chat. Well, he's on the line with us, and he'll be chiming in from time to time. So just want to say thank you all for being a part of Tando Radio Show. Greatly appreciate you here. So as soon as I go on air, my phone continues to blow up, and I put it, let me call you back later. Okay, so sorry about that, you all. So we're going to have a live show for you today, and very, very important show, I think. So we're going to jump into that momentarily. But before we do that, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, blacktalkradionetwork.com. And when you're there, follow the homepage down to the donation button, and please hit the donation button, because your donations is how this network is able to stay on air. Without your overall support, it won't be able to stay on air. We don't want that. We actually need this platform. You need this platform. We need this platform because it gives us information that we otherwise would not be receiving. So to ensure that this network is here, please give some of your monetary energy. Make a donation to ensure and make an investment into this network so that it can continue to invest in you. So you could do that by way of the donation prompt. You can also do it by being a member inside of this social media platform known as BTR Community. And BTR Community can be found at www.btrcommunity. And it is a social media platform where you can engage in all of your social media activities, without being adversely affected. It will not sell your identity. You can engage in your regular, social media events or communications without having the overall sourcing of your information being used against you, or actually you facilitating the overall business livelihood of someone else. With BTR Community, you can actually promote yourself, your business within reason, and gain from that overall social engagement that you could otherwise couldn't do on other platforms. And mainly, you don't have to worry about your identity being soul to anyone, and this is an identity problem that's really at the precipice of that overall platform, the mainstream one. So come on over to BTR Community for only $24 a year. You can engage in the membership and not have to worry about a lot of those things. So the only place that I post information, because it's the only one that's a grassroots in one of the few grassroots and probably the only one within our demographics that is available. So come on over to BTR Community for only $24 a year, one-time membership for a yearly annual payment of only $24 per year. Very easy to do, and it's something that supports the network as well. Okay, also, if you'd like to acquire real money, go to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint's a full-service precious metals dealership where you can exchange your currency for a savings in money, which is very, very important to do in at this juncture in history and at this juncture in time. Make sure that you do that there, because it's very necessary, and it's going to be very important that you and those that do that, they're going to be quite happy with their overall results from that in the future. Let me just say this real quickly about it. Remember, the precious metals has been around for millions of years. Yes, millions and millions of years, and it's always been valuable. The new schemes and scams and new things that are invented by man or they have not been tried and tested, and they will probably go like all of the other things of the past. They go by the wayside. So acquire real money. Okay, very, very important. So you can do that with Prosperity Mint. Make sure before you do that, though, you email Prosperity Mint, say that you're a Tando Radio Show listener, and say, hey, I'm a Tando Radio Show listener. Dave told me to contact. And the email for that is info@prosperitymint.com, info@prosperitymint.com. All right, so we're going to get into today's show. And today's show on the 30th, the topic is border countries of hocus pocus evil. Border country of hocus pocus evil. That's what today's show is going to be about. And I think that this is quite concerning what's happening geopolitically, because this is really a geopolitical situation that is going to go sour. And I'm very concerned about everything that's going on here, because the potential for this is the reason why we've been preparing it. And one of the things about this, what's going on is that I know that the overall plan is to completely have the untied states of America, but I don't know exactly how that is going to be facilitated, because I am not one of the individuals that's making the decisions for that to happen. But it is definitely happening. And how that's going to play out, we'll have to see. And I'm very concerned about how this could play out. And it's a great opportunity to catch people by complete surprise, that I didn't think it could get this bad this quickly. New things were happening, but this one could really change the scope and dynamics of the way that we live here and around the world. And so we're going to get into that in today's show. But at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. So we're going to get into today's show. One second here. So first article that I posted, let me just see really quickly. Okay, great. First article that I posted is coming from RT International, and this is celebrity figurehead Trump. This is an invasion. Our military is waiting for you, Trump warns migrant caravan. So that is going to be a part of, you know, our show today. and we'll see how this whole thing plays out. And I'll, you know, give my overall opinion about this. Would love to hear from you all on this as well. So the next article that we have is from The Atlantic. Trump's murky plan to end birthright citizenship. And that is going to be about the 14th Amendment and what celebrity figurehead Trump plans trying to do with an executive order. Next article, we'll talk about that as well. Next article from the South China Morning Post. Global markets are plunging as the smell of fear permeates in the air. From South China Morning Post. Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. Will a new global crisis start in China? Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. It will happen. Donald Trump vows to terminate U.S. birthright citizenship. And this is going to be a part of our show. Then next, I put a YouTube video, and we're going to play this YouTube video. It's about 1 minute, just short of 2 minutes long. And I'm going to post it inside of the, it's actually 1 minute and 8 seconds long. And we're going to play that today for the start of the show. Scotty, I'll put it in the chat room. It's 1 minute long. Very important. I want you to hear what celebrity figurehead Donald Trump is saying for today's show. Let me just paste it there and we're good to go. Cool. We're not going to play it. Let me just get through what's in the news first and then we'll get to it. All right. So a couple of more articles for what's in the news. You didn't have that many, which because I wanted to really get into today's show. So, all right. So here we go. Next article. This one comes from RT International. China's President Xi Jinping tells military to prepare for war as the U.S. Navy warns of high seas encounters. So the encountering in the South Sea of China is going to increase and is going to definitely lead into military confrontation. Next article from Sputnik News. Huge story. And the what goes along with this as well, and this is from Sputnik News. China to build world's largest super collider. Check out that article. Next article from CNBC. This market reminds Jim Cramer of some of the worst declines he's ever seen, and is only going to get worse, and I'll show you why in a minute. And we'll have this also on Friday, Answer Friday. Next article from AP News. Mattis, military already moving equipment to the southern border. Some AP News. Mattis is the celebrity figurehead defense secretary of the U.S. So check out that article. Next article from MarketBusinessInsider.com. The Chinese yuan hits its weakest level since the financial crisis as trade tensions ramp up. Basically, China's currency is winning and beating the U.S. because it's weak. It's the weakest that it's ever been. And one of the things with the currency war, as I said yesterday, the one to the bottom went. A strong currency during a currency war means you lose. And so China is winning that handily. Check out that article. Next article from this is from Strategic Culture. America's nuclear death wish. Europe must rebel. Check out that article. Next article, and this is one of the things that I was saying, I said I would come back to this one. This is very significant. Business Insider, this is from J.P. Morgan Chase. A massive universe of investors is still loading up on stocks. Here's why that could mean the worst of the sell-off is yet to come. That is what I was talking about in the other article about Jim Cramer saying that this is some of the worst declines he's ever seen. It's only starting. So that's what I posted in the news for today. Let me just check to make sure. Roz may have posted some things. I didn't refresh my. Let me just see. And it is not refreshing for me. So let me check. Hopefully. What does that mean? All right. What's going on here? So let me just check really quickly. Here we go. Just took us a little time. And all right, so let me get some of Roz's articles that he had posted as well. Let me just okay, cool. So next article, Roz posted this one, I don't, let me see, it's 1 second. It's loading up. Okay, here we go. Raj posted this one from the South China Morning Post. China's troubled private list firms offer billion-dollar bailouts. China's troubled private listed firms offer billion-dollar bailouts. And before, with bailouts, next after bailouts come bail-ins. There was a, something else that Raj pushed here that I can't see what it is. I think it's a YouTube video. African-Americans do not look like Africans. The stupidity continues. And I can't see what it is, but Raj posted there. Next article from South China Morning Post. From the South China Morning Post, Raj posted this one. Botched railway in Africa is a warning to a Belt and Road investors. So check out that article. Next article from South China Morning Post. U.S.-Taiwan military ties closer than ever as Trump challenges Beijing. And that is going to cause for the war between the U.S. and China. Also from the South China Morning Post, Chinese ministry hits out at the U.S. interference in the South Sea of China. Next article, Raj posted from the South China Morning Post, trade wars forces firms to consider pulling out of U.S. and China. Check out that article. Next article from the anti-media, and this one is Raj posted, how the media encourages political warfare. Yes, definitely. Next article from Natural Blaze. From Natural Blaze, Raj posted this one. Want some weed killer for breakfast? Here's what you can do to avoid the poisons in nearly all dry breakfast food. Yes. Next one from Natural Blaze, Raj posted, huge important breakthrough for human and animal health as EU approves antibiotic resistance for livestock to battle superbugs. Check out that article. And those are the articles that were what's in the news. So we are going to jump into today's show, but let me just set the table here real quickly. Let me get back. And today's show for me is very, very concerning, and I have no problem saying this. This is the most concerning event that that I'm seeing with what's happening with the migrant caravan from Central America through Mexico into to end up into the United States. This is a major concern for me that can be that can result in major problems. Before we go any further, let me just set some of the precipice on this as we move into today's show. Today's show is Border Countries of Hocus Pocus Evil. And this has the dynamics to be so concerning, as I laid out a little bit yesterday. This has the opportunity to turn into martial law within the whole continental United States, turn into martial law also in Mexico, turn into, from a martial law, into a full-blown war of confrontation, or a confrontation within Central, South, and the Caribbean area, turn into a conflict that can turn into an all-out military conflict between China and the U.S. as well, and then spring into a all-out war. And it also has probably the most concerning problem with this whole thing is that it can totally destabilize. When I say totally destabilize, I mean completely destabilize everything here in the so-called continental United States. Here's how that can happen. Right now, the U.S. celebrity figurehead Trump and his administration is sending, via the Secretary of Defense, sending troops from Fort Hood, Texas, from Killeen, Texas, Fort Hood Army Base. They're sending troops in the numbers of going to exceed 5,000 troops with full riot gear. Now, here's the thing with the full riot gear. The reason why you have full riot gear is because you're anticipating confrontation for between the overall military and the migrants. I'm hoping that that doesn't go that way. But there's so many dynamics that I want to touch on this and how this can actually spring into, and I'm just going to give a, then I'm going to come back and lay it out. If there is any major violence in one, and in that environment, a small spark of violence can balloon into a complete nuclear holocaust of problems there and everywhere, because that will spread into everywhere in the continental United States. Los Angeles, definitely. California, definitely, would implode in all kinds of rioting, violence, not only in California, but in Texas and in other states throughout the country. And then that, because of that overall confrontation, people will be absolutely inflamed if the U.S. military, God forbid, engages in violence and people are killed on either side. The worst thing that could happen there is that you have a body count on both sides, which I think that that is the overall agenda. If you have Border Patrol agents, law enforcement agents, the military itself killed in that overall skirmish, and then you have migrants that are killed in that skirmish, now you have the overall nuclear holocaust that will spread across the continental United States like a radioactive blast, and it will travel across this country at the speed of light. And all of the conditions in the environment for that to happen is thoroughly ripe for that to completely implode. And in that implosion, they wouldn't be able to get, they wouldn't even be able to have an announcement of martial law fast enough. Because now with the climate, from the economic situation in the United States, the already tension that has already been built up, the coverage of this, or not even the coverage of this, and believe me, the news, they'll try to get it out first and then they'll try to suppress it, but it'll be too late because everyone is already going to know. You will have the shutdown. You will have parts of the internet that will strategically be shut down. Information will be suppressed so that rumors will be the overall news. And those rumors will be quite deadly. They will not be about any form of peaceful resolve. It will be the worst stories of violence that is taking place to instigate and fan the flames that will already have been stroked. And this will lead to acts of violence throughout this country that will completely destabilize this country. And once that cat is out the bag, there's no pulling it back. There will be no pulling it back. This is a no-win situation. And you have to think about, why is this happening? Then that will also make it the overall country extremely vulnerable to all forms of hacking, cyber attacks, and acts of aggression and violence by all forms of parties. Name the party and they'll probably be doing it. It will be this group, that group, here, 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 and before you know it, the overall ability to contain, everyone will even forget about the overall border crisis, because the battle lines will have already been drawn with blood throughout the country. Cities that otherwise have not known any violence would know it. And at the same time, the geopolitical situation that the U.S. will be in, from the UN to other nations will start sanctioning the United States for its overall involvement in this. The heavy-handedness. And other countries will use this as a perfect opportunity to invoke their leverage, because once there's blood in the water, the feeding frenzy of the sharks will be there. Once weakness is seen in the financial world, the clandestine world, the geopolitical world, and the political world itself, once there's blood in the water and there's weakness that's there, there is no friends among the bleeding, and everyone will start to take their position. And this is how this can turn not only to a national, but will be international anyhow, but it will actually cross all borders. You will actually see military bases that the U.S. has all over the world will be attacked through protests and through all forms and fashions of things. And remember, the U.S. has more military bases than any other country, probably all the countries combined. So what does that mean? Now what you put as a military base for your strength has now become your weakness. You're overexposed. Here is going to be a great, great problem. Now, what I want to do is I want to just read what I want to do real quickly. I want to go into playing what celebrity figurehead Trump said. I want you to listen. And then I want to go into reading the article. Then I lay this whole thing out. We'll love to hear from you. But I'm going to tell you, over this weekend, the whole weekend, my overall a train of thought was that this is something that really needs to be prepared for, because this is the most clear and present embattlement that we are going to be facing, and I can see it coming from here. And what everything else that goes along with this and tied to this will be extremely difficult to control, to get a handle over, to de-escalate. This is almost one of those events that you can't de-escalate. It can only be escalated further. And all of that is starting to come out now. We're starting to see it. Pittsburgh was just the start. It's just the start. There are many that are waiting eagerly, foolishly eager, with the ambition of Lucifer, for the events to kick off. Because it's not just the U.S. military that's going to the borders, it's countless militia groups will also take it upon themselves to engage. And they will see the necessity for them to engage there. And I'm going to tell you, all sides are being played by the system. Doesn't matter what side you're on. The system is playing because the system is investing on all sides in ensuring that this does happen. At some point, at some time, we have to stop thinking from a schooled mind. And there needs to be a measure of wisdom and discipline that we use in our thinking. And it's, discipline is not the easy thing to employ. It's the hardest thing to employ. Wisdom is the hardest, is one of the most difficult things to acquire because it requires that you be humble. And it requires that you be prudent. It requires that with true wisdom comes a meekness. And many people don't understand or know what the overall definition of being meek is. And being meek means just because you can is the reason why you don't. You use drastic means only as a last resort when there is no other option. You exhaust. All of the other options before you engage. You never make an emotional decision. It's all based off of the principle of benevolency. That's what being meek is. It's not weak, as though it's one of the true traits of being strong. And I don't see much strength. I see great weakness in the world. And I see great trials and tests that the system is going to put on us all to test our meekness. And the thing about what's happening is that this is no game. This has the opportunity to transfer into our core being of who we are, our spiritual constitution, our spiritual makeup, to where that can be soured, to where possibly that this can know the ramifications of this could be more than just the physical nature. It will scorn and scorch us into our great transformation. And that's a burn that I don't want to scold my soul with, scold my spirit with. So we're going to get into that now. There's a YouTube video that I posted, and Scotty, if you would, it's about 1 minute long. Oh, Scotty said he'd be back in 4 minutes. Okay.
On immigration, some legal scholars believe you can get rid of birthright citizenship without changing the Constitution.
With an executive order.
Exactly.
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment.
Right. Guess 14th Amendment.
You don't.
Number one,
you don't need that. Number two,
I mean, that's in dispute.
You could definitely
that's very much in dispute.
Well, you can definitely do it with an act of Congress, but now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order. Now, how ridiculous. We're the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all of those benefits. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it has to end.
Have you talked about that with counsel?
Yeah, I have.
So where in the process?
It's in the process. It'll happen. With an executive order. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly
a very interesting
question.
I didn't think anybody but knew that but me. I thought I was the only one. Jonathan,
I've got
impressed.
A good guess. Good
I'm
guess.
Impressed.
Okay, so you heard that, and I'm going to tell you, this is why celebrity figurehead Trump was the perfect selection for the CEO of the corporation of the United States because of who he is and how he was raised and everything else. He was perfect for the events that the system wanted to put into place. What Trump is talking about is nullifying the 14th Amendment by an executive order. So basically, what you have here, this is how the untied states of America will start to move. This overall event will have so many ramifications, from building of walls to having a new constitution to having the untied states of America. And this is where, this is the steps that you start to lead to get to those, to that road, to that end road. And it is all a dead end. It's a complete dead end. An executive order cannot. One individual cannot nullify what people have invested in their whole lives. And this is a dangerous thing. It would never, an executive order, this is why an executive order can't nullify the 14th Amendment. Because an executive order is just an order. It's not a law. An executive order has no constitutional in court, in their overall court system, their judicial system, is not the overall foundation of the overall judification. It is actually just an order from the executive branch of the government, an order by one person. Now, what celebrity figurehead Trump can do by way of the Constitution, and this is the most damning thing, is that Congress can't stop him on this at all. It's Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. It reads as this: the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republic form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. And on application of the legislators or the executive, when the legislators cannot convene, against domestic violence. So, in this overall caravan, Trump's ability to engage the overall caravan with force is Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. He has that overall constitutional ability to protect against any state against invasion. And the word invasion is where he'll be able to use military force. It does not come under the governors of the states, and everything else do not supersede. It's the executive position there, and he's already known with his overall game plan is.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Do you think that those soldiers were actually, what Trump wants is the border, what the border looks like in Israel, you know, with the right of return, where, you know, the Israeli government purged those Palestinians from their land and just confiscated it and put them on the reservation, basically, and how they've been shooting them down for I don't know how many months straight now. They've been shooting them people down. That's the kind of power that Trump wants. Okay. Now just think about how that would be a violation of international law. Man, it would be a crisis for the United States. Okay. And when the LA rebellion happened after, they found them cops innocent of beating Rodney King mm-hmm. like that. And we were sitting in Hawaii in the barracks watching it. And so me and a couple of my friends started talking about, man, what if they gave us an order to shoot on them civilians like that? Would you follow the order? So, people in the military do have the right to refuse orders. You can give all the orders you yep. want to, and nobody's going to follow them, then you might as well just be, not even giving orders. So I don't know. I'm sure they would find some people willing to do that.
Right.
I don't think they're going to deploy regular military. What they're going to do is probably call up some reservists and what have you, but I just can't see, and again, anything can happen, but I just can't see American soldiers firing, using live fire rounds against some unarmed people, women, children, old people, and all of that. I mean, if they do, man, I mean, that's going to do so much to destroy the U.S. standing in the world that I just can't fathom.
Yeah, Scotty, you and I, we broke him. And just to answer your question, you know what I think, Scotty, is that the individuals that they will actually screen the individuals for those jobs, for those positions. And there's plenty of individuals, just like there's the militia. It's just like pulling individuals from the militia. Would they do it? Absolutely. And I think this is the problem that I see that could possibly happen. One of the things is that in engaging the overall war is a psychological part of it as well. Unfortunately, I could see, and it is not beyond. See, Scotty wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. But the individuals that would do it are those that we don't know that possibly could be in a position of influence. And I would say from history, they are there and they would do it. Here's how things would really change. When you start having Border Patrol agents, law enforcement agents in the military, because they're sending troops from Fort Hood. They've already started to dispatch them from Texas, from Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas, to parts of the southern border, and they're going to bring others from all over. So they are sending the regular military there with full riot gear. If those troops, how do you instigate and change the overall momentum? And this is going to be a dastardly deed. Very easily, you start having troops getting shot there. Once that happens, now you'll have a great humanitarian crisis, because it's just like anything else. Whenever you put your overall... One thing that is guaranteed throughout the world, there's no military that could ever defeat the people. They weren't designed to fight the people. They were actually designed only to fight military. Once that happens, and where that comes from, that will be the precipice where that will change the dynamics very easily. When you have both sides, because one of the things is that the people that actually created this overall environment, they actually was in a think tank and thought this whole process out strategically to happen at an appointed time. And at that appointed time is right now. So there is appointed measures that they want to. And part of those over measures, I definitely think that they will actually fire upon the caravan and the troops themselves, and not knowing, and have them instigators actually involved in that. And then now, once the response from both sides from that overall firing happens, it's all she wrote. You can't pull back from there. Because then what will happen, every Hispanic community in America will be targeted by individuals that will look upon them as the ones that pulled the trigger there. And this is so darn bad in the dynamics of this. I don't want this to happen, but I do want us to look at this and say, oh shoot, we should be really concerned about what this could actually bring. So we got a caller in queue. Don't like to keep our callers waiting. Brother Davis is in queue. Let me go to Brother Davis. Brother Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you? Always good to hear the voice of a friend.
Absolutely. It's always good to hear the voice of a friend. And I'm going to tell you, Dave, you're right on point. People fail to realize that this is the funding down of Papa Comitatus. That was let you know that you have no rights in America. When they start taking and dismantling the law in front of your face, they're telling you that you are next. Don't think that they're going to go after the brown skin and stop. They're not, because the black skin has always been an option, and they've been demonstrating that. But this is an assault on the stability of the country itself. So people, if y'all have not prepared for this, wake up! I just wanted to add that, brother. Peace.
Peace, Brother Davis. Give my regards to Sister Davis. Yes, Posse Comitatus was actually destroyed a couple of years ago on May the 15th of 2013, I believe it was. And what happened is that what they did is they changed the overall Posse Comitatus completely. They took all of the overall abilities of the governors out of the particular governor's hands. They totally destroyed Posse Comitatus, and they gave it down to, listen to this, I have the article. I should have brought it up, and I'll have to do another show. Listen to this. This is what the Army's new rules of urban warfare are: civil disobedience is what is known as civil disobedience, to where they've given it down to the company commander's decision on using force, deadly force. That totally destroys Posse Comitatus. But it's not only just there at the border. What they do is they change these things and they let them sit, and then they utilize them years later. And I'm going to have to, and I should have, and I meant to bring it up, and Brother Davis reminded me when he said Posse Comitatus has totally been destroyed. See, what happened with Posse Comitatus is that you are not supposed to have the military engaging in civil lawfare. Okay, they broke Posse Comitatus down when they started to allow the military to walk around in the general community in their battle fatigues. That was the first breaking down of Posse Comitatus. See, generally, what has happened is that the military could never go into civilian population outside of their bases. The military could never leave their bases in their battle fatigue, because then that was a violation of Posse Comitatus, because the military does not dictate the overall movement or the legal standing of the civilian world. The civilian world is actually dictates what the military would do. So in the past, years and years ago, if you were in the military, you couldn't leave your base in your battle fatigues, because then that would be a violation of Posse Comitatus, let alone have an overall gun, let alone have a tank, let alone have your overall military equipment outside of you were moving from one place to another place for deployment.
Hey, Dave.
The governor, yeah, real quick, see, the governor could call on the National Guard to assist, couldn't call on the Army, the Navy, or the U.S. military. So this is a different whole beast. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, Posse Comitatus is just the enforcement of laws. for example, and I don't think posse comitatus even applies because we ain't talking about U.S. citizens and we're not talking about people inside the United States. We're talking about people outside the United States, and the U.S. military can, under law, protect the borders. They can be deployed for that. It just depends on how it's framed.
Right.
So that's why they're not framing these as asylum seekers, people that seeking political asylum because of U.S. policies destroying. That's why they're being portrayed by the Trump administration as an invading force. So it just depends on how you interpret it. Now, that's why they will never deploy. Trump just runs his mouth at times. He talking about, you know, getting rid of the 14th Amendment by executive order. He cannot do that. That executive order would be unenforceable. But when he was talking about deploying troops to Chicago to deal with the gun violence, he's not going to do that because that would be a violation of posse comitatus. The U.S. Army cannot be used as police on the streets of the United States. You know, it had to be an extreme circumstance, you know, like an invading force or something. And that's why they're trying to frame these political asylum seekers as migrants, an invading force, and then, you know, want to circulate these theories that, oh, George Soros is funding it or the Democrats are funding. Now we're getting into political theater.
Yeah, and Scotty's absolutely right. And what I was saying is that this is going to move directly into that. And actually, posse comitatus, because Scotty's right, but posse comitatus was destroyed in 2013, 2014, where from the Army's civil disobedience rules of engagement changed. To where they took everything away from the governor.
They won't deploy regular army. They won't deploy regular Marines, you know, active duty. They have more than enough National Guard members and reserve, which ain't regular army, you know, to do those things. And so, again, securing the borders, if they say they need help securing the borders, it is not outside of the law for them to deploy reservists and National Guard troops.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Scotty. But the Army has changed their civil disobedience rules of engagement. And
the Army can't do that. Congress has to do it. What you're going to have to show me is probably something in the National Defense Authorization Act, some law, because you know how they slip stuff in the bill because we don't pay attention to politics or read the bills, and we don't know this new power they have assumed for themselves. So if that's the case, if it's law, it's got to be in the NDAA or it's got to be in the Patriot Act or something like that.
That's exactly where it is, Scotty, and that's where they get their overall, where they don't even have to have, they can supersede posse comitatus. And this was completely, completely shocking. When I first read it, it was actually just before, 1 year before they moved into being able to move to drafting women into the military. And there's a specific article, and they've changed it since that time. And it was around, and it all comes from the NDAA. And I'm going to pull it up and post it. And it was actually from the the civil disobedience, and I'll find it, and I'll probably have to come back to it, because the Constitution is you're absolutely right, you know, posse comitatus, you know, is it, but under the new NDAA and Patriot Act and everything else, posse comitatus can be actually has exemption. And they can actually use the military, the U.S. military, the Army, the Navy, outside anything out the U.S. Armed Forces outside of the National Guard to have to quell domestic disturbance within the continental United States. And some of that was, yes. And I wanted to read it.
I'm glad you pointed out the NADA, because first of all, we have to understand this came under the Obama administration, one, and two, it goes into the restructuring of the sociological aspect of civilianism. And I'm talking about everything from immorality to the reconstruction of religion. And those people who haven't understood the in-depthness that the NADA goes into, how to take it as a personal initiative to find out on their own, because this changes the direction of America altogether.
You know, I fully expect, I would expect the United States to deploy military troops if we had another civil war. That's a given right there. You know, you got, you do have these groups out there that are just waiting for something to pop off. Or I bet you if, let's say, for example, when Texas is threatening and other southern states threatening to secede from the Union, absolutely the U.S. military can be deployed against them. And that's within the law. And it makes sense to me. You know, I see the logic in it. If my country is being destroyed by invading force or by some Confederate rebels, then yes, I would say the U.S. president has an obligation to deploy the U.S. armed forces against those people.
Yeah, and they were actually talking about also, you know, just civil disobedience in general, like in Ferguson or in other things, that they could actually use the U.S. military in those overall engagements now.
But they don't have to, though. That's the thing, though. The police by themselves, not just the local police department, the state police department, the county police department, that's a million-man army right there. You know, so they,
if we get a cross-pollinating event that covers this whole country, it doesn't matter how many law enforcement, just in L.A., I was a police officer in L.A. when the riots happened. As soon as that riot happened in L.A., there was absolutely nothing that the overall department as law enforcement could do, because the overall scope of the overall event was far exceeding any resources that could meet it. Even if you brought in the National Guard, if the overall people in just that small area. But now what we're going to have, and this can cross-pollinate. See, they knew that this type of stuff was coming because this was on their drawing boards. This was in their think tank. How can we establish an event that would supersede and exhaust the resources of prudency to where we would have to go to draconian measures? And this is definitely one of those, because this won't be in just one small contained area in South Los Angeles and in a part of Los Angeles. This is something that's going to be national and is going to be everywhere. There are no resources that the overall National Guard could be able to respond to that. There are no resources that law enforcement would be able to respond to that. Just with a couple of fires and everything else spread out all over the place, that would exhaust everything. You won't be able to have movement. You won't be able to have even movement in the major cities because of the gridlock that would happen and go along there. So this is real huge, what this could actually turn into, that would actually indict invoke what they already wanted to happen. So listen, we got to go to a commercial break.
Yeah, but Dave, you know, they will. I've seen these law enforcement be deployed from other states, especially during manhunts when you kill a slave catcher. And they will send in police from every state. When Christopher Dorner in L.A., the former L.A. cop that was killing them cops, they had law enforcement from four different states looking for him.
But mutual aid.
Yeah, but to your point, though, you know, I don't think the military is much bigger than when I was in it in the 1990s. When you, even if you took all the police, took all the prison guards, and took all the soldiers in the Navy, that still ain't a big enough force to control the American population, because this is a well-armed population. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So, when we talking about these sort of things and it's involving the U.S. military, this population is the most armed population on the face of the planet. And this is why I'm so against gun control legislation and them using these events to scare people to give up, their guns and all of that. But, you know, that's why I don't even worry about an invasion, man. That's why China was talking about we'll get your enemies on the inside to do something, because they know they can't straight up invade.
That's the point we're going to do. This is how you nullify the strength. You go to the weakness. And actually, what the actual what I'm talking about, we're going to go. Let's go to a commercial break when we come back, and I'm going to read to you what the new Army's civil disobedience.
Hey, Dave. Before we go to break, one quick point though.
Yeah.
Again, and
yeah,
I'm
let's
not.
Let's go to break.
And people, please don't take this the wrong way, but look, they've been rounding up people for a very long time, for over 200 years. They've been practicing slavery. Slavery was never abolished. And here's my thing. They've been rounding up these people at the border, separating them from their children, throwing them in the cages and what have you. For here in North Carolina in Wake County, you know, you got a black sheriff running against the incumbent sheriff. And what's at stake in that election is whether or not they're going to continue to keep racially profiling Latinos and cooperating with the federal government. As you know, Dave, a sheriff is one of the most sovereign officials in the United States.
Yeah, it is the most
States.
Sovereign, yes.
Yeah,
More powerful than the president.
Yeah. So my thing is this. If all the people of good conscience would band together and work together, we could put an end to all of this. We could stop slavery right now.
Yeah.
We could stop them from rounding up people and throwing them in cages like animals right now. All the stuff that I hear people worried about, it's already going on. It's already happening.
Yeah.
It's just not at no mass level as what we see on TV. You know, when we watch these movies like Red Dawn and they rounding up, you know, people, it's not happening like it did for the Japanese during World War II. It is still happening, just on a smaller scale.
Right.
So I'll leave it like this. Like, and I heard somebody bring this up the other day on this news show I was watching. Pastor Nia Moller. He said, first they came for the communists. I wasn't a communist, so I didn't do nothing. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I wasn't a trade unionist, and I didn't do nothing. They came for the gypsies. I wasn't no gypsies. They came from the Jews. I was no Jew. And then when they came for me, there was nobody left. We at that Nehemiah moment right now, man.
Yes,
they've been
Scotty.
At that moment for a long time.
Right, Scotty.
That's why I'm an abolitionist.
Yeah. Yep. And they're going to come for abolitionists. And we ain't going to be nobody left. Man, Scotty, this is so important. Listen, when we come back, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. And we need to pick this back up. And believe me, we are just, my overall approach is to just to get you to think and be ready so that there will be someone at the appropriate time. And we'll be right back after this commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll probably need to do a couple of more shows on this. It's very important. So what we're talking about is how this migrant caravan could explode. And there was a army. It was actually the army's response to from the headquarters of the Department of the Army. And it was civil disobedience. Is actually ATP 3-3.33 civil disturbance, and I almost got the month right. I was off by 1 month. I said May of 2014. It actually came out in April 2014. Kudos to me. I remembered that almost to the T. But headquarters of the headquarters Department of the Army, and this is their publication. You can actually it came out from the Department of the Army in Washington, D.C. on April the 21st of 2014, civil disturbance, and it has all of how with the Army civil disturbance program, civil unrest, crowd development, crowd dynamics, crowd theory, and this is chapter one is operational threats, civil unrest, crowd deployment, development, crowd dynamics, behavior theories, crowd type, crowd tactics. Here is the problem with this whole thing. This is actually not only for outside of the United States, it's for inside of the United States. So it effectively nullified posse comitatus. Okay? And it actually goes through this, and all of it's there. There's a lot to read there. And so what I want to do is I want to pull up different portions of it to where they nullify posse comitatus. And then you have the civil unrest and what it calls for. Here's the damning part of this. Here it is right here is the one part of it is the federal military commanders have the authority in extraordinary emergency circumstances when prior authorization by the president is impossible constitutional local authorities are unable to control the situation to engage temporarily in activities that are necessary to quell large-scale unexpected civil disturbance. This is the Army's policy now. And then also goes into other, hold on 1 second, getting calls. Okay, so what this was, it has a 10 UC United States Code 33-1. When a state is unable to control domestic violence and they have requested federal assistance and use the militia or the armed forces is authorized. 10 USC 33-2. When ordinary enforcement means are unworkable due to unlawful obstruction or rebels against the authorities of the United States, the use of the militia or armed forces is authorized. 10 USC 333. When a state cannot or will not protect the constitutional rights of the citizens due to domestic violence or conspire to hinder the execution of state or federal law, the use of militia or armed forces is authorized. House Joint Resolution 1292. The resolution directs all departments of the United States government upon request of the Secret Service to assist in carrying out its statutory duties to protect the government officials and major political candidates from physical harm. And this is basically saying that the U.S. Armed Forces is actually can be used and decide that rioting infringes upon these exclusions, then the Constitution no longer applies and that lethal force can be used against U.S. citizens. This is what is changed, and Barack Obama was the one that allowed this actually to be changed. And this is where the federal commanders, and they have it broken down to where it's not even on the president or the governor's decree. It's not the president or the governor's decree. Once the U.S. Army has been called in, or the U.S. military outside of the National Guard, this is the U.S. Armed Forces are called in. They have the at the company commander level that decision to engage with deadly force against the adversary, being U.S. citizens or whomever, will be at the company commander's level. You know how small, how low of a level that is? That's extremely low.
Hey, Dave, we've seen this happen before in U.S. history. This has happened before.
Yeah.
It was after the Civil War. When they had, right after the Civil War, after you brought up, or Trump brought up the 14th Amendment, after the 14th Amendment was passed and non-white people were given rights under the Constitution. Well, in the Southern Confederate states, they had to deploy U.S. federal troops to enforce those rights. And it in some people say that was the golden age or black people. I don't know about no golden age under tyranny or whatnot. But anyway.
Right.
But anyway, that's the time you saw across the South a whole lot of black men elected to federal office and what have you. Grant going after the Klan under the Ku Klux Klan Act and all of that. So we've seen this before, and I absolutely believe it could happen again under those circumstances. I mean, not those exact circumstances for the exact same reasons, but it has been done before. U.S. troops have been deployed to enforce federal law.
Yeah, and here's where it gets even. And I actually posted it inside of Tando. Oh shoot, hold on. Let me get it. Let me pull it up. Right, I'll pull it up. I'm gonna post it in Tando. But you really got to read this and see the devil in the details. It's shocking, but it gets even worse. Here's what the part that gets worse about this whole thing is that when the U.S. the Army or the U.S. Army or the U.S. military forces have other options as well. If they choose to engage the population, U.S. citizens, they also have this option. U.S. citizens may simply be herded into temporary internment camps. They may be herded into temporary internment camps for re-indoctrination purposes under the supervision of PSYOPs officers. No, that's the words. These are the words that are in this overall program. This is what's here. And as followed from the Army's Field Manual 3-39.40 Internment and Resettlement Operations Manual. Internment and Resettlement, the R is known as RI, Internment and Resettlement Operation Facilities. The ability to conduct rapid and decisive combat operations, deter migrants and de facto threats to populations, may result in conflict reversal conditions of human suffering and build the capacity of a foreign government to effectively care for and govern its population. This includes the capability to conduct shaping operations across the spectrum of military operations to migrate and to defeat the underlying conditions for conflict and counter the core motives that result in supporting to criminal terrorism, insurgency, and other destabilizing groups. An RI is to remember, RI is this, internment and resettlement. So when they say RI, this is what they use RI for, internment and resettlement operations or camps, internment camps. RI operations also include the daily incarceration of U.S. military prisoners at facilities throughout the world. An abduction of enemies will manipulate populations that are hostile to the United States intent by instigating mass civil disobedience, direct criminal activities masking their operations in urban or other complex territories, maintaining an indistinguishable presence through cultural anonymity, and actively seeking to traditionally sanctuaries into the traditional sanctuaries of protected areas as defined by the rules of land warfare. Such actions will facilitate the disbursement of threatening forces, negate technology overmatching, and downgrade target opportunities. Commanders will use technology and conduct police intelligence operations to influence and control populations, to evacuate detainees and move this down, translate rehabilitative and reconciliation operations to other facility agencies. The combat identification of friend or foe or neutral is used to differentiate combatants from non-combatant and family force from threatening forces. So basically, not only will the U.S. military engage U.S. citizens, but they will actually engage in internment and resettlement operations. And that comes from the Army's Field Manual 3-39.40, Internment and Resettlement Operations, to go along with this actual Army's Field Manual of 3-39.33. And this was adopted in 2014. Basically, this totally nullifies posse comitatus. You don't need a governor, don't need the president. If they are there and they actually say do this or do that, but one of the things within this, if their overall measures are not working, this is why they said that earlier, if they're ineffective, then the Army will make its decisions on how to effectively mitigate the problem. So really what you're talking about is you're talking about a military coup d'etat. This is a military coup, because in this overall, if the environment is correct, they can tell the president, no, that's what you're doing is not working, we're taking over. That's what this invokes. And that's the real deadly problem that's here. And it's been seeded so and quietly, asymmetrically put into place so that we wouldn't notice what they're really trying to do. This is a military coup d'etat. This is a coup. And this is what they're going to do. This is how they operate. They didn't have to ask Congress for anything. This is the procedural operational manual of how the Army is going to be working. And this was put into place in 2014. Now, what type of events would get you to this overall point? Well, if this migrant caravan explodes to where it goes throughout the U.S., there isn't enough police personnel, law enforcement personnel to deal with all of the rioting. See, one of the things about mutual aid, which is good, and Scotty was right, mutual aid works, But there is no mutual aid when your city and the next city and the next city and the next city and other cities all around you are having the same problems that you have. Where's your mutual aid going to come from? It's not going to be coming at all. And this is where the Army steps in and gets deployed. I think Keith wanted to chime in. Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, I just figured out how to get back in. I apologize. I wanted to make several comments. And really, you're looking at this that you talked about. Number one, I wanted to go way back a little bit, and you were talking about the way people are and the way people aren't. I think one thing is you got to be careful because exposed to this violence. And you start to see this violence around you, trust me, those are the type of situations where I learn never to say never. Because you will change quickly from a human point of view to an animal preservation of extinction individual in a heartbeat. So be careful with that, because when you say, and the reason why I bring that up is because what's going to happen in this country is what basically what the Bible talks about when it talks about mother will be against father and sister be against brother, things that you can't never imagine. When things get to an animalistic type of environment, trust me, you will take on that same thing. The other thing that you're talking about, which is so interesting, is the fact that when you look at what's going on with what you're talking about in the military, these things were explicitly warned against by this country's founding fathers. The last thing that they wanted to do was to give the military the power to do exactly the things that you're talking about. So when you talked about that, all these things were done under the table, absolutely, because these things were specifically warned, do not do these. As a matter of fact, they were even warned when, if you look at when Trump came into office and he was pointing all these generals and they were saying, well, we don't want all these generals. You're right, you don't want all those generals, because when you take the people that had a military background and you put them in the political environment, those two can combine together for a military coup all day. Now they have the knowledge how to do things politically, and they already have the backing of the troops, et cetera, from being generals in the military. Those were things that we were supposed to steer clear from, and those are also the things that we find ourselves in the thick, or should I say, in the midst of. So, yeah, you talking about a political, what do they call it, conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy. This is all an agenda. And the thing is, it's a cannibalistic agenda, because at this point what they're showing you is they couldn't care less what this country was founded on, based on, any of all that other stuff. We are in an era where, guess what? We want what we want. We're going to take what we want. And that's the bottom line. Okay, that's all I wanted to add.
Yeah, well said, you know, Keith, and it's in for everyone. This is, and I just wanted to point this stuff out, because the opportunity to transcend this into much, much worse is definitely there. And there was an art. Let me just pull this up. I want to post a couple of the. Hopefully I didn't get rid of it. I'm gonna post a couple of the Army's actual field manual, which I think is important. And here, what I'm saying here is that this has the potential to grow much, much bigger. And the threats of this is so severe that it needs to have our attention. See,
hey,
Trump,
Dave,
is, as Scotty was saying,
that.
He's right. He can't. I'll go to that person in one second. He's right. This is an invasion. So they were smart enough to see what they do is they're smart enough to have plausible deniability in everything that they're going to do. So this invasion, but they didn't, what they'll say is that we didn't think that this was going to cause for riots throughout the country, which is not an invasion, but it's civil disobedience now. So I think we got another caller in.
Yeah, that was me, Dave. What I was going to say is that you're absolutely right. Anything is possible, but I just also want to stress, let's not also just assume that people in the military are going to go along with this, okay? Even when you have people, who was the Joint Chiefs when I was in Iraq? The black dude, what's his name? What's the general? Colin Powell. People like Colin Powell and others don't think that they still don't have ties to people in the military. And so it could easily be, you might get a number of commanders who are not bought into the political ideology of the current administration. They'd be like, look, dude, you talking about suspending the 14th Amendment. Well, guess what? I didn't take an oath to you. I took an oath to defend the Constitution. And so now we got to depose you or what have you, since Congress doesn't want to do their job. So I just want us to always have hope in our heart. Not being naive, of course, prepare for everything, prepare like the revolution gonna start tomorrow. But at the same time, these are family members that's in the military. These are uncles, these are fathers, aunts, and what have you. And then the thing that you have to consider is they're going to look at it like we're attacking our own people. Because I was looking at it like that. If deployed, and I wasn't even political back then. I was just a young 22-year-old who was just wanting to wait, you know, do my job Monday through Friday and on the weekend go get drunk and club, you know. But I even knew the potential when we was watching the L.A. Rebellion on television, the potentials. And I was like, hey, if our commander gave us that order, who you gonna shoot, him or the people? And considering I was talking to black people, we were talking about black people. Are we going to shoot these people? These are our own people. Or are we going to shoot that dude who gave us that illegal order? So it could go either way. You just never know, and you had to prepare for everything.
Right. And I'm glad Scotty's absolutely right. And it can go. But what it does, it does this. It destabilizes. This is the perfect destabilization program. Perfect destabilization program. Because now there's going to be, instead of having the overall execution of immediacy, people are going to be like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And guess what that's going to do? Now, let's say we're getting ready to go to a break. And I'm going to give you what I really think, because it's all encompassing of everything here. This is the perfect way to have the divided states of America. There's a reason that they are actually have politicizing division, because that's the overall system's agenda. Then there are countries that are waiting for the U.S. to be destabilized even further. Never forget what the overall Russian program was to destroy America from within by division. So, we're listening to Candle Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. And I just want to say this is a very important conversation and thoughts that we're having. And I just want to say I appreciate Brother Davis, Scotty, and Pastor Keith for their input on this, because this is very important. I actually posted the U.S. Army civil disobedience that's there, and it, that one is, excuse me, it is, one second, I had to go back to the top for the numbers and everything else. It is 3-39.33, Civil Disobedience, April of 2014, Headquarters Department of the Army. And it was for the Army's technique publication number 30, number 3-39.33, Civil Disobedience, and it has the contents that's there. But then there's also another one that I posted that augments this one, but it's even older. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Now, let me tell you, let's say things, I don't even want to say worse came to worse. Worst case scenario, because even in the worst case scenario, and I think you agree with that, there's opportunity. Okay?
Absolutely.
So I don't necessarily view the destabilization of the United States and, as you say, becoming I don't view that as a bad thing. I view it as opportunity.
Right.
It's whose will is going to be enforced. Who has the stronger will to enforce? Is it the people or is it malevolent actors within the government? Okay, so, but here's an advantage the people have is, as you was reading that field manual, and as I have a bunch of field manuals myself that I got off the internet and downloaded, we know their operations and their plans and all of that, because how smart is it to put these things... make these things available to the public. So I just want to, you know, show you a silver lining. We know they plans.
The silver lining. That's so true. And so I hope y'all caught what Scotty was saying. And that is so true. It's so true. You need to know. You definitely need to know. If they're going to tell you what their plan is and what they're going to do, then this is what we want to know. Please tell me what you're going to do. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your cooperation. And then now you can devise some things that you, and then you have to weigh out what's truthful, what's propaganda, where the lie is, where the truth is, and it all comes into a lot of the, This one was one second. Let me put this from the actual headquarters of the Department of the Army. Put that one in. Very important, but... Okay, hold on. There we go. A second. All right, so now, here's what I want to say that's very, very important to me. And I'm actually going to put the is the actual Microsoft one from the Army itself. So that's, I put that one in there. Okay, so I did do it. All right, so let's get back to this. Now, here's what I think is very, very important. And we talked about this before. Now, the destabilization of the U.S. is going to be beneficial to whom? Now, think about our troops. And they are our family members and everything else. They are pulled from the pool of talent of the population of this country. Some of them have views that we would agree with, and some of them have views that we would totally disagree with. Some of them have views that we should be actually developing, and some of them have views that we should be actually running away from. There's all forms, because it comes from the pool of talent that this country has actually schooled. Here's a very, very important portion of this, is that the U.S. right now is on the verge of engaging in a war on multiple fronts when it has already been in the longest war that it's ever been in its history. And its overall troops and equipment and tactics are exhausted. Think about it. If we were going to go to war against a so-called superpower, we wouldn't just get all of our stuff together and say, okay, let's go to war with them, attack them. What we would do is that you would slowly and methodically downgrade and nullify their strengths and their ability. You would wear them out. You wouldn't go into a full-out, all-out confrontation until it was in your best interest to do it. You would engage in exhaustive measures before you get there. The Russians had a program, and it was the destabilization of the United States. And you can find it, some of the things on YouTube. They put it on YouTube and everything else. You don't have to believe it and everything, but they say some very interesting things. They say that their overall plan to beat the U.S. and defeat the U.S. is not by the battlefield, but was by their overall relationships with themselves, to destabilize the United States into neutralizing them by way of division, because they're already divided in the country. They're vulnerable there. So now China and Russia and the other countries are sitting back, destabilize the U.S. Who is that giving opportunity to? Them. Remember, it was a while ago that China said that we will actually fund your enemies from within. And now, what is that? That means that they will, the enemies from within is not only in one community, but it's in all. They will actually fund all sides to destabilize the U.S. And there was the general, the Air Force general said that the U.S. is no longer a sanctuary. It is no longer a sanctuary because its natural borders and its oceans on its borders, our enemies are on its borders. Who is on the U.S.'s border? Canada and Mexico. So because of that, the general was saying that we are no longer a sanctuary. Meaning this, in the past confrontations and war, the U.S., the continental United States, was immune from the overall battle engagement and the evil that the U.S. was purveying elsewhere in the world, because they didn't get touched here at the sanctuary. It's no longer a sanctuary. It's no longer a safe haven. It's no longer a safe place. It is no longer the garrison. It is actually the theater of involvement. It's involved in the overall active theater, the war theater, the conflict theater. Not only on the borders, but the waters also. He said, no longer are the waters, the oceans, a natural barrier. What does he mean by that? Now other countries can reach you now. Your waters is, the water is not a natural barrier to keep you immune from attacks from abroad. How is that possible? Well, because they have the overall technology and ability through weapons to be able to reach you and cross the overall oceans. But more importantly, they can do it by this way, and this way is the most effective way, by the internet and by the cyberspace world. Just imagine the propaganda that's going to be going out from when this, if this caravan goes erroneously awry. Russia, Iran, North Korea, China, are all going to engage and try to create and dictate the overall momentum that's going on here, like they did during the Arab Spring, like they did during the overall coup in the Ukraine, like they did in destabilizing everything. The Twitter tweeting and all of that is going to be used, and all of that is going to be compromised, and is going to be have cyberspace that's going to be involved in there. And what the U.S. military said, if any other country uses the cyberspace to invoke acts of violence against the U.S., they can use nuclear weapons as a response to that. Why nuclear weapons? because they realize that the cyberspace could generate such a problem that they can be handily defeated from that. So now, China has already said that we will fund your adversaries from within. What's the adversaries from within? It's not just one community. They will actually fund the militia groups. They will actually fund the people that will be on the side of the migrants. They will actually fund the nationalist group. They will actually fund all extremists in the country. And how many extremists do you have in this country that will look upon this scenario as an opportunity to shine? Now, what does that do for China and Russia and everyone else? That puts them in a position of advantage, because now, while your troops get deployed overseas, are they going to be able to effectively and efficiently fight knowing that home is burning? There is a level of shock that the U.S. military has never, ever experienced, that other countries know the full-fledged evil of war. There's the great, one of the things about what makes the U.S. military so great is, unlike any other military in the world, is unlike the Russian military, the Chinese military, with all of their billions of people and military personnel. Here's the difference. Those countries have a ethnic kinship. Generally, those individuals have an ethnic kinship, and they have some of the same cultural and ethnic ability. The U.S. military is not that. This is one of the things. This is what really makes the U.S. military. The strength of the U.S. military is not in the technology and the weaponry that it has. It's with the individuals that are behind that weaponry that makes it so great. Here's what makes the U.S. military so great. It's so diverse. It has short people, tall people. It has people that are speaking many different languages that other countries don't have that overall ability. They can infiltrate anywhere in the world, really, because they have every person of the rainbow in this country. That becomes a very, very strong strength, because now, even though one guy can't run fast, you got five or six guys that can. One guy is not able to do this, is not able to endure the cold. Well, you got five guys that can, or five guys that can. Then you got some guys that can't withstand the heat, but these guys can. The other countries, they basically, everyone is pretty much within that same, they're on par. But the U.S. military is not on par. They go to all the extremes because of all of the different cultural makeup of its pool of talent. So how do you turn that against, that is a defined strength. How do you turn that strength into a problem, an issue, a hindrance, a hamstring, an adversity? Very easily. You go and you attack the diversity to bring in division. So now, when you look at this migrant caravan, where is it coming from? Central America. Remember what many countries in Central America, as of recently, have done. They have broken their relationships with the United States, and they've signed on with China. What do you think the deal that China has given them? This is what we want you to do. And in doing that, this will destabilize them, and it'd be much easier. See, now, the Japanese said that you can never invade the United States because behind every blade of grass is a gun. Well, what they didn't tell you is that they realized something as well. If you will get that blade of grass to cut itself, then it'd be easy for you to trample on the rest. Meaning this, if you can get all of those guns in the United States pointed at each other and firing upon each other, when you walk in, only thing that you'll have to do is divide the sick, injured, and the bodies. Because yes, this is the most heavily armed country on the planet. That could be a good thing, but that can also be used against, and that is what is the plan. Because it's the plan that will guarantee the most probability of success than all out directly. See, the system teaches us when we protest to stand in front of the police in their riot gear head on, which is the most inappropriate thing to do. Why would you go against someone's strength when they have the overall equipment to nullify your presence? And what other countries are doing is this: we're not going to stand in front of you. We're going to see what your weaknesses are, and we're going to stand on your weaknesses. When you stand on someone's weaknesses, they become the Achilles, their Achilles heel becomes their downfall. To me, this is much, much more threatening and much, much broader in what this can turn into. Now, as Scotty said, so true is the bright side of it. What's the silver lining? Yes, there is a silver lining. When we're prepared for this, there will be opportunities that will come that we'll be able to seize upon and have sovereignty and self-determination and bring about a benevolent change that's necessary in our condition, in the prevailing condition. Because we have to look upon this as this: what this was built on can't stand, because it wasn't built for sustainability. It was built for control. It was built off of fear. It was built off of acts of violence. It was built off of subjugation. Those things have a shelf life, and it looks like that overall outline or paradigm is going to try to reinvigorate itself. And when it's trying to do that is when it's at its weakest point. And that's where we can say no. No more. We won't allow that to happen again. This is the reasons why we must prepare. And in preparation comes the ability to be able to withstand and then to advance. So I truly see this as a major, major. It just shows us that we're getting much closer to, I don't want this to happen, but I'm not the one that's invoking this. I was hoping that, and I'm hoping that there will be even more time for us to prepare, because we're not ready. We may be prepared, but we're not ready. There's so much more that we need to do. There's so much of this system that we need to get out of our thinking and out of our decision making. There's so much of it we must erase from our makeup. we may be forced to make an abrupt change of heart from circumstances. And that's a difficult thing because that's where people become extremely vulnerable. Will I go this way or that way? So I just wanted to lay out some of the things that were possible here. And as celebrity figurehead Trump said, this is an evasion, an invasion. And which means it's too convenient. And it's a trap. But if we look at it as the trap that it possibly could be, then maybe when it's sprung, it won't capture anyone, or won't at least capture us, won't capture you. So I just want to say thank you all for your input. I didn't get to read. I want to definitely read this, some of this stuff. We need to, because I didn't get to touch on the other stuff that's involved in this. But for me, this is a part of the purge of the U.S. And it is going to not, there is no turning back now, y'all. So we are in this all together. And there's going to be an opportunity for us to get what we know is our birthright. And our birthright is to be sovereign and free and independent. So without much more, I just want to say thank you all. Let me make sure I don't have any other callers in queue before we get out of here. Just want to say thank you all and greatly appreciate you all. And just watch what's going on. Prepare. You're ready. Make ready. And always think. Always think. Ask the questions and develop your own sovereignty. So much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Great Creator willing. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.